Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see you today. Thank you so much for choosing to come to worship this morning. And if you're visiting with us today, it's a joy to have you. I understand Dr. Johnny Blevins is here. Where are you, Johnny? Raise your hand. There you are, brother. Johnny is our new mission strategist for Elkin Baptist Association. It's great to have he and his wife here today. And I'm going to ask Johnny in just a moment, I'm going to ask him to pray for us before our guest speaker comes up this morning. But I'm overjoyed, and I think that we are privileged today to have Reverend Clay Leonard with us. Clay is the Director of Development in the Greater Triad Region for Baptist Children's Home of North Carolina. Now, he's a North Carolina native. He was born and raised in Morganton, North Carolina, and he has 22 years of pastoral ministry in Rocky Mount area. Clay and his wife of 26 years, Kelly, have two sons, Braylon and Eli, who are both in college. And Brother Clay is here today to share with us how we are on mission together, sharing hope and changing lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ through Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. I am so thankful that he is here today. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Johnny if he would to say a prayer over Brother Clay this morning and over our service. And then I'm going to ask Brother Clay to come and share God's word with us today. Brother Johnny, would you voice a prayer, please? Yes, God. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Johnny. Would you join me in giving a good warm welcome, Pleasant Hill welcome to Brother Clay this morning?
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask the brother back there if he could go ahead and play a little short intro video, please.
This is the heartbeat of the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. It is a heart that beats with a rhythm of hope that stretches across 36 ministry locations throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Guatemala. From the tiniest of hearts to those that have beat millions of times, we offer a number of life-changing ministries to meet the specific needs of everyone we have the privilege to serve. For vulnerable and hurting children, for adults with special needs to single mothers, and for women who have courageously chosen adoption for their babies, our heartbeat to provide help, healing, and hope echoes into their lives. Through the prayers and support of North Carolina Baptist and the generosity of friends throughout our many communities, hope is thriving. We are Baptist Children's Homes. We are many ministries beating with one heart, the heart of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Danny, you said the crowd was small today. If this is small, goodness gracious. I tell you what. Oh, okay. Maybe you missed the parking lot. All pastors have a parking lot sort of barometer. They look at the parking lot and they know what's going to be. And I'm glad you missed it today. I really am. Brother Johnny, good to see you. And thank you for being here and for serving the Elkin Association and So many great years of service there at Elkin Valley, and God bless you in your ministry. Thank you for praying for me a moment ago. And so thanks again to Pleasant Hill. You guys have been partners with Baptist Children's Home for a very long time. And sometimes churches don't really realize how long that they have partnered with us. But according to my records that I can find, you guys have been giving consistently to us to support the ministry of Sharing Hope and Changing Lives for 33 years. And you all have given over $52,000 to us across those years, and we're so grateful for that. And hopefully over the next few moments, you'll see a little bit about maybe what we do with those dollars. You saw in that video just the scope of the ministry of Baptist Children's Home. And, you know, I'm having to train myself a little differently because I used to talk about the children and the families that we serve. But honestly, I don't like to use that word because really and truly, we're in a mission field. You know, people ask me sometimes, why did you leave the pastorate and go take a ministry position with Baptist Children's Home? What's your why? We have, of what I do, we have five of us across the state in various areas that do what I do. And, you know, basically our responsibility is connect with churches and connect with associations and even private donors and just cultivate those relationships on behalf of the ministry. And so, Clay, why would you leave the pastorate? And there are some things that I do miss about pastoring. But, Danny, there's some things I don't really miss about pastoring. but what I really love about what I do is I get to meet all the fine folks that pastor across 13 associations spread across 15 counties, and I get to interact with them. And I've enjoyed getting to know Joe so much, and I appreciate him and his friendship, and even Brother Pruitt here a few moments ago. Brother Pruitt, I hope you're doing some choir recruitment because there's a lot of choir members sitting in this congregation that ought to be in the choir anyway. I heard that right there. So anyway, why? Why did I do it? Why am I doing what I do? There's a lot of people that work for us that have a why, but I got one friend who has fostered and adopted adopted his daughter and has been a part of a home growing up where he was a part of a single parent home that really, really, really struggled, and he's drawn to it. I myself, I was raised in a Christian home with mom and dad who loved me and my sisters very much and shared the gospel with us and serve the Lord well, and you don't really have this story per se, but what's the why? Well, here's the why. My why that I serve Baptist Children's Home should be your why, and that is that the children that we minister to and the families that we minister to, minister the gospel, which, by the way, last year, Baptist Children's Home, we saw 322 decisions for Christ throughout our ministry last year. It was amazing. But those people that we minister to, our mission field, if you will, they're so precious. The gospel is so great that my why is why not? Why not be involved with that? You know, Baptist Children's Homes in North Carolina, we exist to glorify God by taking care of the vulnerable. We are, in essence, we are a pro-life movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ that expands across North Carolina, even South Carolina, and also Guatemala. We serve and minister to, see, I use that word serve as if we're offering a service, and we do, but our goal is to share the gospel. Our goal is that mission field. And did you know that there's a mission field right here as well? As a matter of fact, as of 2023, we're getting data in all along. But and I know that this church, Pleasant Hill, you're just inside of Wilkes County, but there were 230 children in the foster care system in Wilkes County. and only 30 licensed foster families. That's it. Could you imagine? Let's just say all of those 30 families in Wilkes County had one child that they were fostering. What would it look like if over the next 6 months your children's ministry grew by 200? Because that's what it is, a mission field. It's a mission field in which you get to be able to foster a child, care for a child, love a child, but truly show them Jesus, show them the gospel, share with them the gospel. Man, I can only imagine the impact of churches. I think about 30 families just in Wilkes County. By the way, Surrey County does a little better. They got about 35 families and actually not quite as many children in foster care. But there's over 10,000 in foster care throughout North Carolina and only about 5,700 foster families. And not all of those are two-parent Christian homes. So what do? Well, we care for kids. Yes, we do it on our campuses, like in the Mills home in Thomasville, where we have numerous cottages. Brother Pruitt has a dear friend, Keith Feather, and his wife. They're cottage parents down there, and they're so wonderful to serve with, and they have such a great heart. But we're also in the process, we train foster families. If there are families right here in this church, we'll bring our folks here. We'll train you. We'll license you. We'll walk with you. We'll connect you with the Department of Social Services. We will care for you along the way. We'll help you navigate those difficult decisions and times. We'll answer the questions for you that you have and walk you through and let your home become a mission safe haven for a mission field in foster care. We'll do that. That's one of the things that we do that a lot of people have no idea that we do those things. A lot of folks just have the concept that Baptist Children's Home is the orphanage down in Thomasville where they take care of kids. And it's so much more than that. So much more. In addition to those things, in recent days, we've added an adoption agency to our ministry called Christian Adoption Services, where we seek to reach birth mothers who make the courageous choice to choose life and to choose a living situation that is far better than anything they could give their baby when they place that baby into an adoptive family. And so, one, we're ministering to those adoptive parents. And, you know, every baby that's adopted through Christian Adoption Services goes into a two-parent Christian home. We don't make any apologies for that. That's exactly the families that we're looking for. Last year, we did 42 domestic adoptions in North Carolina and South Carolina. We had 8 adoptions internationally through the Philippines, of which we're licensed. Christian Adoption Services is licensed. And then on top of that, through the Every Child Foster to Adopt initiative, we have 35 adoptions through that. So all in all throughout our ministry, 85 adoptions last year. But specifically with Christian Adoption Services, the mission field is, yes, those babies and the adoptive families, but the mission field is those birth moms. The birth moms who make that courageous choice. Maybe in a lot of cases, it may be the best decision they've ever made in their life. Perhaps they come from a very, very broken, very dark background. And so we want to love them. We want to care for them. And we want to see their life changed. We do that through providing some wonderful counsel to them. We do that through providing some gifts along the way and helping them and giving them Bibles and helping them understand, giving them opportunities to grow. And if any birth mom would like to completely get out of the life situation that she's in, we have opportunities for them to do that. And we have a home that they can live in for up to a year, and we'll help get them on their feet. We have a generous donor in North Carolina who has said any birth mom who comes through the Emmanuel home and wants to pursue college, they'll be paid for 100%. So we have a young lady who just last year came through the Emmanuel home. She got her general education, her GED, completed that, got her CNA certification. We got her a job. She started working. And by the way, she came to know Jesus as her Savior, first and foremost. But now she's in nursing school. And she's a birth mom who placed her child into an adoptive family's home and then wanted to do something different with her life. So we're about that. We do a birth moms retreat every year. Last year, 50 birth moms attended. 17 of them gave their life to Christ. So many of those things, a lot of folks have no idea that those things go on with our ministry. And so wonderful, wonderful things. Look, I just want to, I told Pastor Danny, I said, you know, I'm here today to preach and we are going to get into God's word. And I do want to be mindful of our time together. So I say all that to say this. I hope that through the little video you saw, and there's so many other facets and factors to our ministry, I hope I've given you at least enough to want to know more. And I'll be around after the service until Pastor Danny or Joe says, let's go eat. I'll be around at least that long. So I'll be around as long as necessary. If any of you have questions, I do encourage you to follow us on social media where we post content every day that some blessing, some win, some gospel win within our ministry, perhaps a need, a prayer request. So follow us on Facebook or Instagram. That's a great way to connect with us. Our website, bchfamily.org, is a great place to find information. You can peruse there and see all of our many ministries. If you're interested in adoption, it's christianadopt.org. And so that's a good resource for adoption. And, you know, hopefully I've given you just enough to want to know a little bit more. I'm going to share a little bit during our during the message that maybe will lend itself to that. But really and truly, connect with our ministry in some way, shape, or form. And that's the greatest ways, through social media, through email, those types of things. Some of you may receive Charity and Children, which is our monthly publication that is so informative and really inspirational with lots of things. But there's a lot of things that you can do. We have a tremendous volunteer page on our website where if you're looking for something to do, maybe a small group, a Sunday school class, a mission group, man, you can come and serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And our volunteer coordinator, Kristen, she puts all that together, and she's wonderful. She's great to work with. You'll connect with her through that volunteer portal on our website. And there's many things you can do. There's also lots of things that you can do because if you see yourself like me, like, hey, the mission field is huge out there, and maybe God is calling families in here to foster. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he's already called. Maybe some of you are fostering now. I don't know, but perhaps you are. And maybe this church could do something to minister to foster families. We have lots of churches who say, you know, we don't really have any families, but we want to support those who do. And so, you know, we have churches that offer, you know, date nights for families who are in foster. They have times where those foster parents can get together and just talk and encourage each other and grow with each other. So things like that, opportunities to serve birth moms through Christian adoption services. There's so many things that are out there. So I encourage you that as you contend for life, as you fight for life, the sanctity of life day, right? That's what the emphasis is today. But as you, Pleasant Hill, are fighting for life and ultimately eternal life through the gospel, there are so many opportunities that are out there. I know that you're already just so engaged with your local pregnancy care network and that ministry there. And thank you for doing that. Those are so essential to fighting for and contending for life. And so thank you all for what you do already through the local things. But if you want to be partners with us, we'd love to talk to you about that. Well, if you would take your Bible, we're going to be in Romans chapter 8 today. Romans chapter 8. And the message that I want to convey to you today out of Romans chapter 8, here's sort of the big idea. The big idea is that no matter what your background is, and mine was pretty good, honestly, I feel kind of privileged to have the parents that I have and the grandparents that I had, and I feel privileged that I've grown up in the home that I grew up in. It wasn't anything that I did. It was the blessing that God placed in my life at that time. But no matter if you grew up in a good home or you might have grown up in a difficult home, a difficult place, maybe there were struggles associated with your childhood, no matter what that is, I can tell you this, being a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father is far greater. Far greater. Do you realize the blessing that is in the life of every single believer as a child of God, as a son or daughter of the Heavenly Father? Man, it's amazing. Let's take a look real quick. I want to read our text and then give a little bit of brief introduction to the message, and then we'll sort of get into here. So Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, just let's stand as we honor God, and we're going to read His Word together. So beginning in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin with verse 12. It says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption," that's capital S, Holy Spirit of adoption, "whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Lord Jesus, thank You, God, for Your Word, Your holy, perfect Word. Let it speak to us today. God, allow us today to make much out of Jesus so that He can make something out of us. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we're thinking about this text, I said a moment ago, no matter what your background is, being a child, a son, or a daughter of the Heavenly Father is far greater. Now, you understand, or hopefully you understand, I'm sure you do, as you have sat and been discipled under Pastor Danny for a long time, that you, every single one of us, we have a story. A story of our background, a story that God is writing in your life. What is the story God is writing in your life? Some of us have very interesting beginnings. Some of us have interesting middles. We go through ups and downs, and some go through sicknesses and loss and disease and all kinds of things. What's your story? Understand that God is the one who's writing your story. And so what is God writing in that story? I can tell you, for me, he wrote in some things I've already shared. My parents, they're the ones that shared the gospel with me on January 26, 1985, sitting in my bedroom. They, through my inquiring of them, asking them about Jesus, asking them about how to be saved, they shared with me straight from God's Word how to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And right then and there, January 26, 1985, in my bedroom, I asked God to forgive my sin and to save my 8-year-old little soul. And He did. He did. He's faithful to do that, right? And so that's an interesting part of my story. But we've had some other interesting parts, my wife and I, parts of our story. So what is God writing in your story? And then the next question that I would also kind of follow up with is, what is God writing with your story? Because yes, God desires to do something in you so that He can do something with you. What is He writing with your story? How is your story a blessing to others? How is your story, how's He using you and your story to share the gospel with somebody else to write into their story? So it's all connected here, and that's what we see. That's the clear mandate of the gospel, right? To make disciples, to be used by God to do that. So what is it about being a child of God that's so great? Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's some great implications about being a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father. First of all, do you realize that God tells us that every single time we call, He always answers? Do you know that? One of the most frustrating things in my adult life at the stage that I am now, and my parents being in their later 70s, and they pretty much are at home all the time, is when I call and they don't answer the phone. It gets frustrating. I'm like, I know that you're sitting, I know that you're at home. Like, I know that you're not out and about, you know, they're not working anymore, that my two sisters live up at the top of the hill from where mom and daddy do. And so, you know, they come down to mom and dad's house. Mom and dad don't go much to their houses. So it's like, I've called and why won't you answer? Or even better yet, I'll send them a text and like crickets, nothing, no response. I feel like with my parents, sometimes I am like with my children. Like, I know that you're sitting on your phone all the time, son, and yet you won't answer my text message. Like, I know you've, you know, you're just ignoring me. But God says that every single time we call, he answers, every time. Danny, every time without fail. If we search for him, we'll find him every single time. He's, matter of fact, he's not really hiding from us. Every time we look for him, he's here I am. God's not real good at hide and seek because he's going to be found every single time. He promises us that as his children, his love will never fail us. He promises he'll be faithful in every single way. He promises that our sin will be forgiven. Now, I grew up a mama's boy. And my mama overlooked a lot of stupid that my sisters did. No, I'm just kidding. My mama overlooked a lot of stupid. But God forgives it. Man, how much greater is that? God promises, matter of fact, in this chapter that we read in, he promises that for his children, his sons and daughters, all things will work out for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. He promises comfort in trials. He promises new life in Christ. He promises to finish the work that he started in every single one of us. He promises peace when we pray. He promises to supply our needs. And he promises that he will return for us and we'll be with him always. So much greater are the implications of being a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father than the son or the daughter of whoever our parents were. And so while I've seen and I've felt the love of God in my life and the love of my parents, I've seen and felt the love of my parents for 49 years, the love of God has been screaming at us through the pages of his word for thousands of years and most loudly from Golgotha's hill and the empty tomb as he resurrected. His love has been there, communicating to us, calling us, drawing us. I'm so thankful that as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, that we are led and we are loved perfectly, that we are supported constantly, and that our future is beyond compare with anything else we can ever come up with. And that's what we see in Romans 8. Let's take a look at some verses here today. First of all, do you realize that you're loved? You are loved, friends. It tells us there in verses 14 and 15, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, of adoption. Now, what do we know? One of the most famous verses in all of Scripture is John 3:16, right? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And if God gave something to us, then as his children we have received it, right? What have we received? We've received the spirit of adoption, by whom now we can cry out to him, Abba, Father. We've not received this spirit of bondage or this spirit of fear, this spirit of slavery. We've not received that. That's not what he's given to us. He's given to us the spirit of adoption, by whom now we know him as our Father. He has loved us. And that verse also said that we are led by him, loved and led. God is the supreme standard of a loving, caring Father. Now, there's two opposing mindsets here, right? We saw those, the spirit of bondage and the spirit of adoption. Those two, and they oppose each other in our text. Paul's very clear about that. And as adopted children of God, our relationship to Him is as a child to a loving father. It's not like an inmate to a slave master, if you will. That's not our relationship to Him. We are all in need of a loving, faithful father who will lead us faithfully. And only through Christ can we be adopted. Now, at Baptist Children's Home, there is no child, no resident in our care that goes unloved. But many come to us having never felt love before. I told you a lot of kids that come to us, a lot of the birth moms that place their children into adoption, There's darkness. We operate oftentimes in a realm where there's a lot of darkness and a lot of bad stuff, and we want to bring light to that. We want to bring Jesus' gospel to that. But even though some may come to us having never felt love, we do our very best to show that. 1 Peter 4:8 tells us that love covers a multitude of sins, right? So this struggle between the mindset of bondage and the mindset of adoption, it's very painfully obvious in the children who come into our care. And we can't control the fact that so many come. We can't control their background, but we control what happens when they get there. That's the mission field. Those foster children may only be with your families or your foster families for a short amount of time. They may only be in our care for a short amount of time. And while they're there, we want to make sure that they know that they're loved by God and that God wants to change their life, that God wants to do something in their life. We can control how we respond to that. There was a former child who was a former child in our care. Her name is Angel, and she recently reflected in one of the articles in Charity and Children. She said, "I used to be so mad at people, I didn't even know. But it changed because my cottage parents listened to my hurt and they told me over and over again they loved me. I wasn't used to people caring about me," she said. John 13:34 commands us to love one another. So the love that is seen and the love that is felt from our cottage parents, our foster parents, our adoptive parents, that love that we communicate I didn't mention this, but we have 9 group homes across the state for adults who are intellectually and developmentally disabled. We serve right now 53 adults with special needs in group homes across the state as part of our ministry too. All of those residents who are in our care, the love that we show to them, it's unlike any other. And just as we've been given the spirit of adoption, we in turn want to show and share the gospel with them. So God's loving gift of salvation and adoption into His family, it cannot be denied. That is what the gospel does. It puts us in His family. And here's the cool thing. When you're in a family, you're never alone. Now, there have been times in my family when I wanted my sisters to leave me alone. Honestly, they probably wanted me to leave them alone. But anyway, I'm the preaching today, not them. So when you're in a family, you're never alone. Do you know we see that also in our text today? It's not obvious, but it kind of is if you slow down enough and you read the text. In the second part of verse 15, he says that we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So here we are now in a new family, and we have a father who loves us, a heavenly father. Then it says, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. So now the Holy Spirit's part of the equation. So there's more support there, not alone. And it says that we are children of God. In other words, there's more than one. There's multiple. He's already said all those who receive the spirit of adoption are God's sons and daughters, or God's children. So there's more than one of us. By the way, you can look to your left and to your right, and you can know you're not alone in this, even in this family, right? So when you are in a family, you are never alone. Now, when God sent His Holy Spirit, He gave us the capacity to call Him Abba, Father. We know from other places in God's precious Word that He will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. I love one translation that says, I will never leave you and I will never leave you alone. How about that? Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever felt lonely? You know, loneliness is a feeling that is within us, but oftentimes that feeling of loneliness comes into us from factors that are outside of us. Let me kind of explain what I mean by that. A very emotionally troubled 19th century English author, she once said, what loneliness is more lonely than distrust? See, when you can't trust your circumstances, you can't trust the people around you, you get inside this bubble of loneliness, don't you? When you don't think you can trust, you become lonely. So many children come to Baptist Children's Homes feeling very lonely. Why? It's because their capacity to trust has been destroyed. Their capacity to trust has been destroyed. The people in their life who were supposed to love them, who were supposed to take care of them, who were supposed to provide for them, have not done so. And so they find themselves very broken, very abandoned, possibly even abused, but also very lonely. And while we cannot help how they come to us, we can certainly help what happens when they come to us. As believers, what do we know? We know Jesus is the answer, right? There's been a couple verses that, and I'm going to try to find them real quick here because I've got one in my notes, but there's a couple I want to share. Because these verses right here have really been permeating my spirit. I've really been drawn to some of these verses here in Isaiah chapter 41. It's just the reality of who God really is for us as His children, as believers. Because friends, I have felt loneliness before. I have felt times in my life where I just wasn't sure if my faith was going to be strong enough to get me through what I was facing. But I love what Isaiah says, Prophet Isaiah says, God speaking through him to his people. In Isaiah chapter 41, and I'll begin up in verse 8, he says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All right, now what's all that mean? Let me explain something. I love a word as I was studying this. There's a word there. Basically, he's saying, I have called you from the ends of the earth. Do you realize that in your sin, you're as far away as you could ever get from God? And God has called you. And there's a word in another translation where it says, he says here in this translation, I have taken you. But there's another word in a different translation that says, I have seized you. Now, I want you to picture, you're as far away from God as you could ever be. In your sin, lost. And God, through Jesus, has come and he has seized you and taken you to himself. Love that imagery. It's the imagery of salvation, isn't it? And he says, once he has you to himself, he says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't worry. You may feel weak. I will strengthen you. And I will hold on to you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The King James, which I just read, said the right hand of righteousness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus is called the righteousness of God. What do we know after the transfiguration and the ascension? What did Jesus do? He ascended to sit down where? The right hand, the Father on high. Jesus is the righteous right hand of God. And so, friends, when you are in seasons of loneliness, when you are in times where you're tempted to say, God, I don't know if I can hang on to my faith here, friend, as a child of God, you ain't hanging on to him. He's hanging on to you. You're not some strong individual. The only strength we have is a strength that's coming from him. And so fear and anxiety at that point can move out, because trust can move back in, because he's hanging on to us. We see this truth daily at Baptist Children's Homes. Children in our care begin to shed that loneliness because they can start trusting again. They can start trusting the provisions that are there for them. They can trust those foster parents and those cottage parents. They can trust that they're going to be there for them. A few years ago, we were introduced to a couple boys who came into our ministry, and they had very little. And when they came into our ministry, one brother said to the other brother, they were actually were homeless. They were living in a tent with their mom. And when they came into our care, one brother said to the other, he said, our prayers have been answered. He started realizing that, man, God's making provision. I can trust again. I can trust again. One of the ways that we communicate this at Baptist Children's Home, and Brother Pruitt, your friend Keith and his wife, as cottage parents, one of the things that they do in their cottage, I know because I've seen it and we've talked about it, is when they sit around the table, they hold hands and they pray. How many of you hold hands and pray before you eat? Anybody? Or maybe you used to. Before COVID. but anyway, you hold hands with the people. You just grab hands and you pray and you thank God. Do you realize how important that really is? Because it's the reality that somebody else is there with you. It's the clasping, the touching, and that is something that we want to communicate to those children. Hey, we're here with you. You're not going anywhere. We've got you. You're safe. You're secure. The fear, the anxiety, the loneliness, that can move out because trust can move in now. And so we love to see that take place. As families sit around a table and they thank God for the food that's before them, the new friends and family that are around them, it just shares some laughs, and just to understand that there is safety there. Because when you're holding the hand of someone who is also holding the hand of God, man, that's when real fear and anxiety and loneliness can get out and trust can come back in. We see it in our churches. I know without a doubt you all probably have a prayer list. You all probably have, and you talk about in your small groups or Sunday school classes or growth groups or whatever you call what you do when you gather in small groups together. But I'm sure you talk about hurts, problems, issues, things, and in essence, it's people calling out saying, hold my hand. Hold my hand. I don't want to walk through this alone. Hold my hand. Intercede on my behalf. There may be someone sitting here today who is experiencing some kind of loneliness. Friends, you don't have to be lonely. You have people in this family with you who will hold on to you. And friends, the truth is, God's holding on to you through Jesus. So being the son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father, you're never alone in a family of love. It means you can have an incomparable future. Verses 17 and 18, we'll look at those again. And if children, then heirs. Oh my goodness, heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I love the King James translation of this verse right here when he says, for I reckon. And so I like, Paul must be Southern. He said, well, I reckon. I reckon all this stuff that's going on in the world ain't even worth, and yes, I said ain't even worth comparing with the future that is ahead of us. Well, I reckon. I love that. As sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, we are heirs with Christ to a phenomenal future in heaven. While we may experience suffering in this life, the glory that awaits us is beyond comparison. And this passage encourages believers to focus on the incredible future that God has promised, which far outweighs the present difficulties. Now, focusing on the future is difficult when your present needs aren't met. If you don't believe it, go without food for a few days, or let a storm come through and go without power for a few days, and you're like, I don't care what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. I need food now. I need power now. My present need isn't met. No matter what's going to happen next month, if I don't get what I need today, I'm not going to make it the next month. So when your present needs aren't met, it's hard to focus on the future. Now, first of all, as believers, we know that our present needs can be met by Jesus. Our present spiritual needs are met by Jesus. Forgiveness and fellowship, and we can be led and loved. But in reality, the reality of day-to-day life is so difficult. We see this oftentimes. I told you about the two brothers years ago who came into our care, and they could not, they basically went to school every day just to get food. So they lived in a tent. Their mom was a drug addict, and they basically went to school so they could get food. They actually would steal food from school to have extra food to bring back for their mom. See, they could not even focus on, they weren't doing anything else in school, by the way, not doing their schoolwork, not doing anything. They could care less. They could care less how much they learned. They could care less what that education might get them in the future because they didn't have food. Literally, they were going home to a tent in the woods and they were living. They had one change of clothes and that was all they had. But they didn't care because their present needs weren't met, so they were doing whatever they could to get those present needs met. And so when they came into our care, and they realized, man, my needs are going to be met. Which, by the way, both of those young men have been adopted into their forever family now, and they both know Jesus as their Savior, and they're together with new parents and new adoptive parents. And because they know that their needs are met, they could begin to focus on what the future would look like. And they realized that they needed Jesus as their Savior. When present needs get met, you can start to focus on the future. Being sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, led and loved perfectly, never alone in a family of love, having a present Abba Father, an incomparable future with Him in heaven, that is the message that we see here today. This year, through our ministry, God has written a wonderful story. Remember I said God's writing stories in your life? Stories that are for your good, ultimately, and for His glory. And God wants to use those stories to bless and write His name and His future into the lives of other people. Stories are meant to be shared. And so God's written a really interesting story. If you don't believe God writes good stories, then you probably hadn't read much of the Bible. And if you haven't, then don't tell Pastor Danny because he'll be mad. But God writes good stories, don't he, Danny? In this story that I want you to see for yourself, God took a wonderful story, a family who put their yes on the table. And they said yes, they would be interested in foster care. No matter what it looks like, they said, we'll be a mission field, we'll be a mission safe haven, and we'll minister. And they put their yes on the table, and they saw a little boy coming to their home, and sometime later, the little boy had a brother that was 14 years older than him, and he ended up in their home, and it's ended up with a couple adoptions, and that doesn't always take place, doesn't have to take place in foster care, but in this case it did. And the oldest son, the oldest boy, the older one there, has made a profession of faith. If you haven't seen this story, and even if you have, watch it again. It's pretty incredible.
My name is Chris.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we're the Chufo family. We live in Western North Carolina in a town called Franklin. I'm the associate pastor at Calvary Baptist Church, and I work with our students and also with missions. We have 6 amazing children, 4 biological children, and there was a dream for more. And then God opened up some doors in a different way, and that was through foster care. So we decided to have a class at our church and host Baptist Children's Home to license anyone that felt that calling on their life.
Liam and Tyler are half-brothers. They have the same mom, different dads.
We met Liam first.
He was 3 months old, and so we went and picked him up, and he was this chubby little 3-month-old. He was so cute. So yeah, we were excited.
About a week after we met Liam, we invited Tyler to one of our church services to get to know him. There was another licensed family within our church, and they brought Tyler into their home. And so I got to learn just his story.
One day after school, we had like a DSS meeting with Crystal, my caseworker, and we were talking about where I wanted to be placed, like permanently. And they said I could stay with my foster family at the time or come to this family to be with my brother.
But after Tyler became part of their family, you know, we would pray weekly for his salvation. And then there was a Sunday morning where, during the invitation, Tyler responded to the presentation of the gospel, surrendered his life to Christ, and immediately, we were baptizing that day, so immediately he crawls into the baptistry with Chris, and I hear these words, you know, this is my son.
It's been our prayer since the moment that we received him into our family, that he would be our son, but our brother in Christ.
And the Father, and now the Son, and the Holy Spirit,
buried in likeness of God.
It's overwhelming, the support just of the church. The church at Cowie, but also the local church as a whole, and Baptist Children's Home.
I know, like, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for foster care and these adoption families. And just that love that these families have just to, like, take in these random kids, you know, off the street or off of these, like, different living situations just, like, made a big impact to me.
That's the reason why we signed up for fostering. I mean, knowing that you could have a captive audience to love them and visibly, physically, emotionally, verbally share Jesus with them. It's like, that's why we want to do that. And through the support of Baptist Children's Home and through giving and through praying, I can't thank them enough. I know it's impacted our life.
What a great story. And it brings us now to a time where we just ask the question, so what? So what? Sanctity of Life Day, we had a speaker from Baptist Children's Home. He came and told a few good stories, and man, they're doing a great job. So what? Well, the truth of the matter is, if that's what you leave with today, then I've missed the mark. Because I cannot share a message that is so filled with hope and not ask if you are filled with that same hope. Do you have the spirit of adoption? Have you been adopted by God into his family? You know, Jesus came to earth, and he lived a life that none of us could have ever lived. He lived that life, and he met God's standard of perfection for getting into heaven. And he took that perfect life to the cross, and he took on himself all of our sin on our behalf, and he died a death that we should have died. He took on God's wrath towards us. He took it on himself, and he defeated death by raising from the grave 3 days later. And by paying that price that he paid, he bought the right to give us forgiveness and eternal life. He bought the right to adopt you into his family. And he'll give you that right now if you will turn from your sin, ask God to forgive you, and to save your soul. I'm certain that your pastor or pastors want to talk with you about that today if that's where you're at. But you know, I also know that speaking in a crowd this size, there's likely someone here that's experienced some loneliness today. You don't have to be lonely. You're in a family. You're in a family who loves you. You don't have to be lonely if you're a child of God, because He's hanging on to you right now in your loneliness. Maybe today you need to take a few moments at this altar, or maybe the altar of your seat right there where you are, and just acknowledge that God is hanging on to you, and you can trust that and know that. Finally, the last thing I would ask that you would consider today is, would you pray for us? Would you pray for Baptist Children's Home? We're on mission together with you. Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, the prayer that you pray to God, interceding for the ministry at Baptist Children's Home or Christian Adoption Services, that prayer may very well be answered right here today, with a child being placed, a baby being adopted. Happens all the time. We had 3 adoption placements the week of Christmas. Happens all the time. I have no idea what's going on across the state right now throughout our ministry, but I do know this: we need prayer partners right now. Father, thank you for this day, for this time, for this precious people who would take some time today and consider these things. Thank you, Lord, for once again the opportunity to share. I thank you for Pleasant Hill Baptist Church and the ministries that they have, and doing so many wonderful things for the 2 that followed in baptism today, and just celebrating their life. Thank you for Pastor Danny and for his staff. Lord, I pray for them. You would strengthen them and walk with them as they serve you and they lead their church to love you. Be with Pleasant Hill, Lord, that they would make much of you and see lives changed for the gospel. I thank you for their partnership with us. Father, we pray now that you would have your will and way in this time of response. In Christ's name, amen.